if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
Hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 361 of BRB UK. The world has gone mad. And I'm not talking about Brexit shenanigans, Timothy Hibbs.
No.
I'm not talking about presidential impeachments, Coleman.
Oh?
I'm talking about Mario Kart Tour's $5 subscription a month for... Right, you're paying $5, right? Okay, and it just gets you more things to go faster. And there's no chuffing multiplayer in it yet. It's madness. They've gone mad. It's all gone mad, Coleman.
Would you call it Mario Madness? Aye!
So this gets you... So basically, if you pay a fiver a month, you get an extra 200cc mode, more extra in-game rewards and exclusive bonus goals. And that's exactly the same price that unlocking the whole of Apple Arcade will cost you for a month. It's mad. They're idiots.
Not a good time to be going up against that particular metric either, kind of thing.
Oh, indeed. But, hey. Anyway, world's gone mad.
Good.
Yep.
But thankfully, the world of politics is completely normal.
Oh, good.
That's fine, then.
Timothy Hibbs.
Yep.
Yes, what have you been up to this week, Timothy?
I got older.
Congratulations.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy vaginal exit day to you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Happy vaginal exit day.
Happy
vaginal exit day.
Thank you, but also just to put that in context, exactly 9 months after Christmas, as my old nan used to joke, there was nothing on TV for Christmas.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, lovely.
Well, that's inaccurate. There's always something on TV at Christmas. That's the whole point of Christmas TV.
Yeah, there was something on TV that Christmas. It was Tim's mum and dad shagging on top of it is what it was.
Thanks for that image, Dan. Nice.
That's all right. Well, they could have been. Tim, for all we know, you could have been conceived on top of your television.
I mean, that's a bit of a stretch, but...
TVs were a lot smaller that day, in those days, and they had a bit more depth to them. So it wouldn't quite be the on-the-knife-edge balancing act of coital positioning that it would be, say, on a 65-inch OLED display in these days.
So what you're saying is that's another thing that's not as easy to do as it used to be back in the day.
Exactly.
I think the more important thing to take away from this is... Christmas movies are clearly like Tim's parents' thing back in the day.
Oh, they loved it.
Oh, yeah. 9 months later, Great Escape.
Tim was there with a spoon trying to dig his way out.
A vaulting horse in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. Mm. I'm not sure what the barbed wire was doing down there, but anyway.
Disturbing mental images going on, gentlemen.
Yeah, I may be mixing up my prison escape films as well.
No, I just really want to make you feel awkward, Tim. That's all.
Good.
Oh, did you have like a little mine cart that you could go on as well? Is that how you shot out?
Yes.
I feel awkward for Tim in this moment.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Can we talk about more awkward things?
Okay, sure. Like what?
Okay, so you know when E3 happens and Nintendo that one year went, hey, we're not doing E3 anymore. And then the next year they went, okay, we're kind of doing E3, but not at E3. And then they started the Nintendo Direct.
And then everyone else went, hey, look, Nintendo are cool again. We ought to do something like Nintendo do.
Yeah, and the Nintendo Directs are arguably the best part of E3 because they're really well put together and professionally produced and edited. And it's not a really weird live show with loads of people screaming and hollering and gameplay demos crashing and what have you. So PlayStation went, hold on, let's have some of that. They started the State of Play. Xbox used to have something like that, but not quite like that, called Inside Xbox. Then they got rid of all those people. They successfully became Outside Xbox. And then they decided, okay, we want Inside Xbox again with more irritating people. So anyway, that's the long way of going around. This week, we've had a new PlayStation State of Play and a new Inside Xbox to be muddling through this week.
I must admit, both of these really seriously passed me by because I've been in the process of mainlining Borderlands 3 before Destiny
that's
hits next
fine.
Week. So.
And I know Tim only watched PlayStation State of Play.
I didn't even know the other one was on. I would have watched it. It was news to me when I saw it on the agenda, to be honest.
Tim,
yep.
You're such a PlayStation fanboy, Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
To be honest, I have been exceptionally busy this week, so yeah, there's that.
Being an anti-Xbox git. Yeah, no, that's what you've been busy doing.
Generally.
Would it surprise you, Tim, if I told you that they were both on the same day?
Yes.
Okay.
But also bearing in mind, that's a Tuesday and I was busy at work, and then also I had to leg it to tabletop.
At the loading bar in Dawson.
So that is a busy day for me. So, you know, there you go.
That's in London.
Yeah.
Well, lucky for you two, I watched the pair of them, so I've got all the info.
Hey. Yay!
It's the Coleman show.
Coleman did his homework.
So let's begin on. We'll start off with PlayStation State of Play, which, by the way, PlayStation State of Play, about 22 minutes, I think it was. The Xbox, Inside Xbox, that was about 92 minutes.
Hey, but they've got such winning personalities on it. I bet you every second of that was a joy.
Wait, happy, happy, joy, joy. PlayStation State of Play, they kicked off with Humanity. Humanity is a new game from The and Studio Enhance. Studio Enhance, that's from that old chap who worked on Tetris Effect,
yep,
I believe.
Tetris Effect is the last one, so that makes me more interested, and the fact that they're doing PSVR as well.
So this is, and it wasn't overly, they didn't come out and go, this is a PSVR game. That came in later stories afterwards, but this is a PlayStation 4 and PSVR game, and it's this idea of how aliens would simulate human group behavior without context, which...
Right,
shows,
it's Lemmings.
Yeah, that's what I was getting vibes of, Lemmings. Kids, if you ask your parents, Lemmings was a game back in the day. But the big groups of humans kind of cluttering around trying to walk through each other. It kind of reminds me of the famous crossroad in Tokyo that gets used in films a lot. No one's bumping into each other, but this one, everyone is bumping into each other. And such to representing human life in such a great way. I think about 30 seconds since the trailer, they all started attacking each other. So it's pretty accurate, I thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really weird. They've not fully explained...
No,
just
how it
what
works. Or...
Humanity is. All I know is it comes out in 2020 and I want it.
I have a question.
Yes.
Are there any large sea based creatures in it?
I don't think so. Were there?
No huge manatees.
Oh, nope. The huge manatee. But no, it looks really cool. We're going to, I won't hang on it too much because there's a lot of stuff to get through as well.
I would say just on form, likely to be a puzzle game by the looks of things, but you know.
Yes, almost certainly.
Exactly what nature that will take, I will be excited to see because they usually make good puzzle games. So yeah.
I also don't know why, but it reminded me of Klax. I think it was just the perspective of like Klax, you're a single human, this is lots of humans, but it was that kind of same positioning of the humans compared to one. If that made sense at all. I don't think it did. Anyway, Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Yeah, the same sort of view and the same sort of like isometric kind of presentation.
Kind
and,
of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Activision Infinity.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, story mode trailer. It looked like a Call of Duty-ass Call of Duty game. I don't know enough about the original Modern Warfare, let alone the reboot, but the big kind of kicker was after the story mode, they showed a quick trailer for Special Ops Survival Mode, which then revealed that it's going to be timed exclusive on PS4. Which stories afterwards then showed it's going to be a 1 year timed exclusive on PS4, which, correct me if I'm wrong, I know Destiny have done this in the past and they break away from Activision and now immediately they're doing this with Call of Duty. And in the past we've had timed DLC with Call of Duty on the Xbox side and then on the PlayStation side, but that's usually like 3 to 6 months. When you have an annual game, isn't gating off your content by a year a ridiculous premise and still charging the same price across all platforms?
You'd think so, but you're probably getting a large amount of money from the other platform, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. I think it's a bit anti-consumer. That's business.
I did take one thing away from the trailer, though. I'm like, oh, they've got a single-player mode in this year. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, they missed the last one in Black Ops 4.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was necessarily back until I saw that trailer. I was like, oh, okay.
Next up, we had, well, this is one, if I remember correctly, when we've initially talked about this in, it was either 2015 or 2017, you were pretty excited, Dan. So this is Wotum from the creator of Nobby Nobby Boy and Katamari Damacy, Kita Takahashi.
Bless you.
Thank you. But so we got a bigger look at this, and not only did we get a bigger look, because I think only before we just saw like a little brief trailer of the main character with a hat, and then he's got a bomb under his hat, and then he goes out the door and then he explodes. This one looks more of a, they've actually shown us like really in-depth gameplay to the demo, as much as you can for a really weird looking game. But it all seems about making friends and matching characters up and blowing them up.
It looks like Animal Crossing has gone out for an ill-advised drunken date with Nobby Nobby Boy, and this is their bastard offspring.
Yeah.
Is how I would describe it.
With bombs.
Yes, and bits and sushi that's trying to procreate with other bits of sushi.
Yeah. But the more interesting thing, I think, is that it's actually coming out December 2019. Like, they announced this game, they left it for years, we heard nothing, and now it's coming out in December.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's one of those, it's the Death Stranding of cutesy platformy games. It's mad as a box of frogs.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's about, but I'm going to be doing it and getting it, and I don't know, maybe I'm going to get Girl to Venus again. I don't know.
I think these shows are good because there's going to be something for everyone out of them. There's a lot of stuff that I kind of glossed through and went, yeah, I'm not really bothered about this. Like Medieval, we're going to come up soon. But I just looked at that and went, yeah, I did that. I did it already. I'm okay. I don't need to play it again. It's fine. hey. Anyway, Arise, which was down on the trailer as Arise Simple Story, but apparently it's just Arise. This is from Piccolo and Techland Publishing. And this is a puzzle stealth platformer game, and it's coming out in December also. And it looks really, really nice and exactly my type of game.
I'm getting almost like Journey-esque vibes.
It's meant to have a very sad story to it, and it was giving me... I mean, the game kind of shows that you're heading towards a statue of a girl, so I don't know if you're there to grieve over someone in a grave, or I don't know. I was getting vibes of God of War for some reason.
Boy!
Yeah, as in the more recent one, I'm guessing.
Come on, lad. Got your mam's ashes. Off to the mountain we go.
Oh, it would be amazing if there was like a
Northern Kratos.
A Midlands voice pack for Kratos.
Hey, I'm Kratos from Leeds.
Hey, up. Hey, up. Good at war.
And boy becomes Kez.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that.
Hey, lad.
Right, this is the moment where Dan's eyes roll into the back of his head, or we can audibly
and
hear
I
his eyes roll.
I was actually excited.
Along with his snoring, and Tim gets super excited, and I go, okay. The L.A. Noire, the VR case files, this was announced, this was released 2 years ago, I think, on the Vive as an exclusive.
Yeah, I was going to say, am I having some kind of flashback?
It's already come out. Now they've rejigged it for PSVR. It's apparently from preview tests of this game, pretty damn good. So if you don't know, the VR case files are 7 existing cases from the original game of L.A. Noire, and it's got VR enhancements, so you take Cole's point of view, and if you're fist fighting, you know, you can use motion controls, same for shooting, you interrogate people, you drive, it looks pretty cool. But also, there's going to be 3 new mini-games added as well, which include boxing, speed car racing, and shooting galleries. And it's
that sounds like some fun to be having with those vomits.
Yeah, I like the idea of calling it speed car racing.
Yeah, I know, right?
something very classy about that. But it's out now for PlayStation VR. I looked it up. It's $24.99 off the bat. But if you want to get a 25% discount, then you need to have picked up or will be picking up L.A. Noire Remastered for PlayStation 4, which I feel a bit dumb that I got mine on the Switch now.
Yeah, I got mine on the Switch too.
Ah, well.
But hey, $24.99 for, like, I didn't actually realize it came with the extra things. That's even better than, I guess, basically, like, a little bit. Even if you just mess around with them a couple of times, that's, you know, adding to the value at least. And yeah, like, I really want to play those cases in VR. I think it's a game that's suitable for it and will work well, hopefully. So yeah, I might have to pick that up at some point. Yeah.
I'm not in a rush, but if I see that in a sale, I'm picking it up. So,
mate, that has got showing up on PS Plus in about 6 months' time written all over it.
No, they haven't done many VR games recently, yeah.
Yeah, I think only 2 games have appeared on PS Plus in the VR section. I think it's more likely that, those were just kind of testing the bed and they were launch games as well. I think it was 3 games and one of those dual play. But I think it's more likely these appear in end of the year sales, Black Friday sales, summer sales, those kind of things. And they always have a pretty big, extensive version of the PSVR lists. And to the point where there are such big discounts on there, I think you'd be mad to buy stuff at full price for PSVR sometimes, because you just see like $20 off a game that came out 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's hard to sometimes justify the price at launch, which I don't know if that's the best thing, but yeah, it's too easy to see that happen. And there's so many games I've got now on it that I like feel I owe more time to, kind of thing, that it's harder and harder to justify picking up new stuff a bit at the moment, basically. But yeah,
you have a worse priced version of the Steam library. And then next came the PlayStation VR showcase, which, when I say like L.A. Noire, I look to that and go, yeah, I can wait for a sale for that. Every single game in this lineup, I actually went, yeah, I want to play that. I want to play that right now. I really like the look of that. everything. Like, there's Gorn, which is a kind of weird part Conan the Barbarian, Rise, Son of Rome, Gladiator kind of simulator, punching people in the face in a really
It looks really silly,
way.
But they've been touting that for a while, so I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign, basically. And especially
no idea.
It having a slightly nebulous winter 2019. But yeah. But I look forward to that and hope that one works out well, basically.
Aspire 1 VR Operative looks absolutely amazing. That's out some point this month, which we haven't got long of yet left.
That's the only thing. As soon as they announced that, this was the one thing in the whole presentation that I was like, well, that's out of date. They've already announced that this has been delayed, unfortunately.
Oh, have they? Oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Anyway, it looks really cool. Some kind of sort of part Call of Duty future. Just looks really, really good for a VR
kind
game.
Of stealth first person shooter, sneak them up and with
lots of
weaponry and tech and stuff, basically. So yeah, it looks really interesting, really good.
Stardust Odyssey, spaceships, flight sims and puzzles, that all is always a great idea for VR. That's also winter 2019. After the Fall, which is a kind of post-apocalyptic zombie-ish biohazardy type.
Wow, what an original concept.
I know, but when you stick it in VR, that's a great idea.
Yeah, but also, like, this is the same people that made... Oh, what's the name of the game they made before? The zombie one...
Arizona Sunshine?
Yes. Arizona Sunshine.
The
same developers made that. So, even though this sounds a bit derivative, I liked the look of this. I think this looked a bit more refined than that did. And then, this is something where if they've made a game in that and then... are fully applying what they've learned from that into a new title, I'm kind of excited to see what they do with it, kind of thing.
And you know what? I enjoy this game. Should I tell you why I enjoy this game? Because it's called After the Fall, Winter 2020. Yes, Winter 2020 is indeed immediately after Fall. So
that's
well
great.
Done.
That's
good. Good synergy on your marketing there. Well done.
I also got super excited because we got a PR email about Winter After the Fall straight away. And I went, and it said something along like play the game along the lines. And I was like, oh, I'm really excited. And I looked at it. It was like, join our newsletter and we'll let you know about beta access at some point. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. You got me. The last one was Space Channel 5 VR, kind of funky news flash. That is the full title. Don't know how experienced you guys are with Space Channel 5, but I used to play a lot of it on the Dreamcast.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it.
I remember everyone loving it, and I remember playing it and going, it's one of these games, okay.
I must say, I didn't really see what the fuss was all about, I'm not going
to
lie.
Yeah, it was something, I used to play any kind of rhythm game back in the day, so this one was like right up my alley, and Michael Jackson was in it, weirdly, so...
Was he right up your alley as well?
He was right up.
Whoa.
rest in peace. Anyway, that was all the PSVR stuff. And then Medieval, they announced...
Now, I've got an issue with this game. I was not consulted about this pre-order bonus or demo playing bonus.
So,
I was not consulted about
that.
I did laugh about that, right.
When I wrote it down, I immediately thought, oh, bugger. Medieval was a game that came out on the PlayStation, and then the PlayStation... I think there was two versions on the PlayStation, then one game on the PS2. Then it disappeared for ages. Sir Daniel was then used in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, or Pazazbar, as we like to call it. And that's kind of it. And then last year they announced they were going to make a Medieval remake, and this year we're getting it on October 25th. But before that, you can play a demo called Medieval, the Short-Lived Demo. Good name. And if you play through and beat the demo, you unlock an item of armor for the character Sir Dan.
Read it like you put it on the... They play through the demo to unlock Sir Daniel's helmet.
Sir Dan's helmet. He's not Sir Daniel,
he's
Sir Dan.
I was not... consulted about this, and frankly, I feel violated.
You will unlock
violated.
Sir Dan's helmet.
But I'm not happy about it.
They did show that was
my helmet.
Well.
I know. I'm very embarrassed about it.
They did show the character of Sir Dan running around and fighting zombies and the undead and what have you, and like normal medieval gameplay. And then they went, then you can unlock a helmet. And they just all the footage from then was him with a helmet on. So. There you go. If you're interested, the demo's out right now. Are you interested, Dan?
Gonna unlock your helmet?
You wanna unlock your helmet?
I can unlock my helmet whenever I want, mate.
Fair enough. I think we've got an episode title there.
I did snigger when that came up on the feed, I have to say.
Yeah.
Civ 6, that is coming to PlayStation 4. Why so soon? If you get the PlayStation... I think if you pre-order the PlayStation 4 version, you get a free Nubia, Khmer, and Indonesia Civ and Scenario packs. There will also be an expansion bundle containing Rise and Fall and Gathering Storm, but that will be sold separately. And you can pick up the game on the 22nd of November. Dan, you've played Civ 6, haven't you?
I did play it when it first came out on PC, which is quite a while ago now. And it used to be... Kev tried to get me into it. It's a fun Civ game, but I think it's just the intricacies of it, unless you've actually got time to devote to getting your head round what the strengths and weaknesses of all the various trees are, of which there are a myriad. You're never going to get the most out of this game in terms of, competitive play. But it's a great game. We'll see how much they're charging for it. I always remain astounded how many years they can get out of a single Civ release.
It is a big game that they do add quite a lot to, kind of thing. Though. One thing, though, have you ever played Civilization Revolution?
Yes, that's good fun. That was my tube game for some time.
How does this compare to that in terms of, is it a lot more complex and a lot more...
Yes, like, very...
See,
like,
I'm not sure I want that on a console, though, kind of thing, in a console experience. As much as I don't particularly play on PC, I think it's a title that maybe, like, it's good to have a stripped down console version, though. Like, it seems like I'd prefer that, I think.
Yeah, but I think it's still going to be the full fat version of the PC game. I don't think
it's
going to be like a Civ Rev, no, cut down version, no.
I don't know. There's been better ways of porting these kind of strategy games to console. Especially like if you take a look at the work that was put to Halo Wars 2 and XCOM 2 as well, I think this could work as the full fat version just with enhanced controllers.
Yeah, I mean, they've done some great stuff before on strategy games when they have ported them to consoles about really thinking about the controls and how they work best using a completely different control method other than keyboard and mouse. If it's a straight port without consideration of that, often those aren't quite so great. But there have been great examples, like with XCOM and XCOM 2, like you mentioned.
Lots of choice wheels.
I actually think the controller control scheme works better in many ways than mouse and keyboard.
Okay. I know a million PC players that will... I don't know a million PC players. I know a lot of PC players that will argue with you there, but here you go.
Well, good for them.
Hammering on their mouse and keyboards out of frustration right now.
Why would you hammer on a mouse?
I don't know, but I've got a great idea because you said Civ 6 and you said Civ 6 on PC, and we have a code for that on the... we have a Steam key, actually.
Okay, like MJGVZ, EJ54L, ZZ, or ZZ rather... M5V.
There you go.
That's MJGVZ EJ54L ZZM5V. Hopefully that still works.
That's Civilization 6 on the PC, Steam copy there. If you do claim it, let us know, because we've got an Australia and a Viking scenario pack, and I think it'll be easier if we just give it to you rather than reading them all out, and then some people get one of one thing and some people get one of another, and if you haven't got the full game, then why would you get the DLC? It just seems weird. So, yeah.
Yes. And if you have got it, to confirm that it is indeed you that you did get it.
Yeah.
If you could just, have a little screenshot saying that you downloaded it for the first time after the date of this podcast.
That would be good. Anyway, that's out on the 22nd of November on the PlayStation 4, if you're interested. Also, there was we don't really need to go into this too much, but Death Stranding, by the way, that's gone gold today, as we recall recording this podcast. They did their first little disc. They drew some little handprints on it and stuff. Look cute. Anyway.
Hey, those handprints have got, like, continents and stuff on them.
But Death Stranding is out on the 8th of November, and to tie in with that release, there will be a limited edition PlayStation Pro, which apparently is
saying... And they will give you a free baby with every one sold.
They will not give you a free baby.
They give you a free baby.
I hope that's not the reason these things are apparently... The pre-orders are going quick on them.
Babies. Yep. They will sell you a baby.
But it's a 1 terabyte PlayStation Pro system with a matte white finish, and which then has two BT handprints on it, which, as Dan alluded to, they form the shape of the world's continents. And then you can also get the the DualShock 4 wireless controller, which
has a baby in it.
Well,
it's got one rumble motor and one baby.
Well, no, I thought it was ugly as all sin, but then the more I think about it, the more I quite like it. So on the touchpad, they've got the Death Stranding logo, but then the plastic is made from a transparent yellow plastic to make it look like the BB casing with the baby.
Yeah.
The BB pod.
Kind of orangey yellow.
Yeah, which I did like. I think it was Giant Bomb talking about this, and they said it's the same color as a BB, and someone went, no, it's the same color as a PP. But there you go. I'm immature. But with that, you get a Blu-ray copy of Death Stranding. Yeah, Death Stranding. I think I'm the only one picking that up.
Yep, I want to. That's something. That's a car crash I want to appreciate from afar. Thank you very much.
It's one of those things. I still don't know if I want a front row seat. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Tim.
Like, I really don't know.
Tim's.
I might play your copy and see what it's like, or wait for reviews and see what people are saying. But
that's fair.
I don't know. I really don't. I'm really undecided at the moment. I'll see.
That's fair. Another game that I really want to get a hold of as well is After Party. So this is from the creators of Oxenfree, Night School Studio, and it's a side-scrollingy puzzle game which you play as two friends trying to escape the afterlife. And the way you do that is out-drink Satan. And Satan has like a kind of frat house in hell. And so you've got to go through and challenge different minions and demons and stuff to, not the yellow earbud minions, but like proper devil minions. You've got to challenge them to drink-offs and unlock different drinks so you can progress through the afterlife. And I think that the game just looks brilliant and funny. And
it looks like a really nice dry humor as well, kind of like, yeah.
Like a dry martini humor, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I like that. Mm.
Yeah, I like the way that as well.
Remember, kids. Hopefully when you do drink, don't do drunk.
Exactly.
Unless you're trying to escape from the devil.
That too.
Yeah.
But I do like it's the idea of two friends in, I think they're in university and they party too hard and they died the day before their graduation and now they're trying to get out of hell so they can graduate. I don't know. Something very Bill and Ted about that to me. But yeah. 29th of October if you're interested. They also showed off the PlayStation Plus games for October, MLB The Show 19 and The Last of Us Remastered, a game I have and a game I don't want. Yay!
That was all right for me because I don't currently have access to the copy of The Last of Us Remastered, and I wouldn't mind playing that, so yeah.
Yes, I need to finally get ahead and finish my copy before February, because on the 21st of February, we are getting The Last of Us Part 2. Nothing really much to touch on other than the release date, because we've already seen gameplay of this game, we know what's going on. Joel popped up in it. Ellie's the main character. What I will say, they showed off all the different editions of this game. I think there's like the regular version, the special edition, the collector's edition, the ultimate edition. But then there's the Ellie edition, which is exactly the same as the ultimate edition, but has the backpack that Ellie wears.
Right.
And that was a US and Canada exclusive and sold out in an hour.
Wow.
So some people really wanted to spend, I think it was $180 for that edition.
Jesus.
Yeah. You got a lot of stuff in it, just nothing I'd be interested in at all.
I mean, I must say the game looks hella pretty.
Yeah, it really does look good.
Really, really does look good.
Overall, though, I was a bit disappointed that was the only one of their big games that they talked about at E3 last year that got revisited in this presentation, which otherwise I was generally...
PlayStation 5.
I know, I was generally pleased with... Yeah, but that does hint at like stuff like Ghost of Tsushima maybe not coming out on the PS4, no?
I think it probably does.
I think, as discussed on the show previously, I think these are going to be games that work with the new console and get upscaled for that console.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't see, especially after Control coming out and having problems, like real big problems with the bog standard PS4... Yeah. I don't see how something that looks like Ghost of Tsushima comes out on PlayStation 4.
No.
Base editions and runs well at all, unless there's some kind of, you know, platform scaling going on.
Do you think there'll be a weird cross-generational point where it will be PS5 and Pro, not and leaving out the original launch at PS4?
No, because I don't think they could do that, because if you remember the very first, it was a horrible show when me and Tim took a look at the announcement of the PS4 Pro, because we were both angry about it for some reason. I think it was just the way it was translated to us. But the PlayStation 4 Pro, one of their big thing was there will, you know, games, there won't be any games that come out on the PS4 Pro that come out, don't come out on the PS4. There can't be. That, like, you can't make that statement and then take it away. Unless you're Anthem. There you go.
Yeah. Well, talking of taking things that are Anthem away, yeah, well, I'll do that later in the show, but I'm taking away the Anthem bits on Discord because no f***er goes there.
But Dan, what will we do without the Anthem section of Discord?
Well, you'll just have to wait till the end of the show and I'll tell you.
All right. And that was everything on PlayStation State of Play. Pretty okay show, I thought. Felt a lot longer than 20 minutes to me.
I know. Well, yeah, I watched it weirdly the first time and then rewatched it again, but... because it,
you
it
watched
was,
it weirdly.
Well, it
how
was,
can you watch something weirdly?
Standing on his head.
Right, it was on
gargling.
On a Tuesday while I was at loading. They did have it in the background, but I was in the middle of playing a card game. So I paid some attention to something. But I haven't said, I have rewatched the whole thing since. I would have watched the Xbox one had I known it was happening.
Well, now you do.
Now, speaking of Xbox, Inside Xbox, yep. I was the only one who watched this, so this will be an easy one to get through quickly. And some stuff I don't need to dwell on because everyone already knows about it. But Atlus, Studio Wildcard, they're the guys behind Ark Survival Evolved. It's a pirate-themed multiplayer survival game. Where have you heard that before?
Yar, on the internet.
Yep. So it looks like this is a game that's going to be coming after Sea of Thieves in a big bad way. Instead of the cartoony style of Rare, you've got a more realistic looking style.
Are that you do.
It's crossplay between Xbox and PC. Where have you heard that before? Ooh. And also, here's the kicker, it launches on Xbox Game Preview next month, October the 8th, which, if they're doing close proximity stuff with Xbox, I'm wondering if that then launches full version on Game Pass going forward. We don't know. Mm. We'll see that. We'll see. Also, Children of Morta from Dead Mage. That is a story-driven RPG roguelike game about an extraordinary family of heroes, which keeps switching between. That is out on the 15th of October on Xbox One. It looked like your kind of pixel, well, beautiful-looking pixel art style roguelike. There seems to be a dime a dozen at the moment, but hey, this one looks okay.
I'm quite happy to see, although this doesn't quite know whether it's 8 or 16-bit styling, but I kind of quite like, much like all revisit things, that we're now progressing from the 8-bit era to the 16-bit era in retro games.
That is interesting, because like when we went back to everyone going, oh, I miss retro hard platform games, we're going to make them all pixelated like I remember, but that seemed to be... And I don't know if it's just like people going, I remember this game, so I made it like this. And now those people have got jobs in bigger companies. And now the next level of people in their indies are going, yeah, I remember this game. It was on the SNES. So now the pixel art's getting better. But it was weird that all these games were coming out. It's like retro games didn't look like this. They, you know, they were able to look better than 3 pixels.
Yeah.
So it is nice. And I do love me some pixel art. Xbox is launching the public project xCloud preview program. Try saying that when you're half cut. They've announced that this is going to take place across the United States, United Kingdom, and Korea.
Hey, we live in one of those places.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Korea.
Which and, one?
I'd just like to take this moment to shout out our great and glorious leader. Anyway, let's carry
Which
on.
Which one?
Not telling you.
What, Trump, Johnson, or Kim Jong-il?
Upon this announcement, I jumped straight to the register link, which is at xbox.com/en-us/xbox-game-streaming. I will put a link in the show notes so that's easier to find rather than listening to me say things. But yeah, if you want to participate, you need a phone or a tablet running at Android 6.0 or higher with Bluetooth 4.0, which would be lovely for my new Samsung arriving.
So you need an old version of Android with a relatively modern version of Bluetooth. Yeah, that's going to work well.
No, Android 6 or higher.
There we go.
There you go. You also need a Microsoft account. Check. You need a Bluetooth-enabled Xbox One wireless controller. Check. And games will be available through a new Microsoft Games streaming app, which will be available in the coming weeks for Android devices.
So that is Android only for the moment. There's no, I've had a quick look at the website, no mention of iPhones, people. So just Android only.
I can't remember what games they put down, but there were some interesting ones.
Gears 5.
Oh yeah, Gears 5 was in there, I think. What was that? Killer Instincts, I think, was in there.
There was also Sea of Thieves.
There's no date to when this is shutting down either, so it's not going to be like a beta that runs for like 3 days. But the idea is to run this indefinitely, build upon it, and then eventually make your way to the launch. I would really like to see this being a decent thing, and I would really like to see this tied in with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate thing. But, you know, big companies tend to cock this stuff up, so it'll probably be like a 25 quid a month subscription, who knows.
Hey, well, at least the Xbox One's got no history of having stuff cocked up on it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's no problems there.
No problems at all.
No. New titles on Xbox Game Pass for PC.
Ooh, that's exciting!
Yep, Dan's excited. You've got Dirt Rally 2.0.
Oh, mildly excited.
Bad North?
That's just South.
I think that's West, Dan. City Skylines, which I've heard really good things
about. That's good fun, that game.
Yeah. And randomly, Saints Row 4 re-elected.
Huzzah!
Which I believe is the version of Saints Row 4 with all the DLC and stuff made all smooth and shiny in DLC.
I will also have you know, my Game Pass now gets me Goat Simulator Windows 10 Edition.
Wow! I'm very happy for you. We had a quick trailer for Code Vein, which is launching on the 27th of September. So about the day this podcast comes out. In fact, me and Tim have spoken about this in preview. I've spoken about this in preview. And then Rick's spoken about it in preview. I believe we're going to get Rick back on to talk about it once his review's up. Yeah, that is a good looking game. Also, another good looking game is The Outer Worlds from Obsidian, which a lot of people are very excited for, especially people that have been burnt on the last two iterations of Fallout, probably the last one more recently. They showed an interview with senior narrative director Megan Sharks, and that is coming to Game Pass on the 25th of October, which the more I look at this, the more I'm interested. Like, the first initial reveal, I had no interest. The more I see, the more I'm interested in. But I've been leaning towards the Switch version until I realized it comes to Game Pass. Definitely
Game Pass version. Fair enough.
There was also a Gears 5 Rockstar Energy promotion.
Let's say we might have more news on that next week.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you tease, Timothy.
Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which I think the open beta is going on right now, if anyone wants to play that. If you do, let me know your reactions. I hope you have a better time than I did with all my technical bugs. They did an interview with actor John Bernthal about his role in the game. And let me tell you about his role in the game.
Tell me about his role in the game, Coleman.
He's John Bernthal, and he's off about something.
Being John Bernthal, probably.
That would be a brilliant film. I'd watch that. You find a door in an office to be John Bernthal, but it just, you're instantly angry at everything. Release date, 4th of October.
Who's that?
Hitman 2 has new DLC, Haven Island, which is set in the Maldives. It's a resort level that is available today for Hitman 2 Expansion Pass and Gold Edition owners.
Man,
there was also Felix the Reaper, which I totally forgot to get any information on. Sorry, it looks really cute though.
Okay.
There was another thing about After Party. They did a interview with studio director Sean Krenkel. Ace Combat 7 Skies Unknown has DLC on its way called Operation Sighthound. That is available on 25th of October. And then lastly, there was a look at the expansion for DayZ. The expansion is called Livonia. That's a terrain pack set in the summer with lots of forest locations and additional content available on the 13th of November. We'll come back to that in a moment also.
Right.
Points of interest, going to reel through them really quickly because I took too long. Sorry.
That's all right.
Fallout 76 is the gift that keeps on giving.
Ah, but it's the gift that, do you want to know the gift it gives you this time?
What is the gift, Dan? Go on, what is the gift?
The gift is, right, so what they've done in the helmet mines of China where they make these things, they've managed to line them with a special substance that is perfectly engineered to grow mold.
That's so terrible.
So what will happen is that basically a load of these helmets are growing, great, so they're growing mold, okay, not cheese, mold. There's just, these are mouldy helmets, not cheesy helmets.
I would have thought they're dusty helmets by now, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And somehow they sold 20,000 of these things.
Yeah, and I will just say, this isn't the helmet that came as part of the big super edition of Fallout 76.
This is, I haven't got enough Fallout 76 tat, so I better buy some more tat.
There was a lot of stuff, a lot of merchandise that was made alongside this. This was an exclusive to GameStop in the US, so this will only affect you in the US.
Indeed it was.
But yeah, 20,000 of these things have to be recalled now. Dan, you're a doctor. What can mold do if you're breathing it in the breathing tubes that they've inserted in this helmet?
In the breathing tubes, it can do bad things. It can basically, well, it can lead to an allergic reaction. If you've got asthma or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, it can make those acutely worse. You have an exacerbation. If you've got a compromised immune system, it could give you a fungal pneumonia, which is really flipping bad news. If you've got one of these, give it back to GameStop. I mean, for a start, I mean, there is an element, you know, some people may say, well, maybe there's an element of natural selection at work here, because to get one of these, you have to have parted with $150.
Wowzers.
That's like £150 when the conversion happens.
So don't think it's as good as that, mate, these days. Yeah, if you got one of these, I mean, there's all kinds of good reasons to get this out of your life. Here is a medically verified reason to get this out of your life. Good old Fallout 76.
This is why we've got him on the show.
Medical advice.
It's good to have a medical opinion in case of Fallout 76 moldy helmets.
Also related recalls, sorry, exploding kittens recall safety goggles sold with Extreme Edition Dodgeball game set due to laceration hazards.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I don't have the goggles, but I like that game.
Exactly, but it's Extreme Edition, so the safety goggles, it's so extreme, they'll cut your face to pieces. That is incredible. Anyway, on topic.
Do you remember when Loot Crate, by the way, they're shutting down now. Do you remember when Loot Crate sent out a bunch of oven gloves?
Loot Crate, don't you mean surprise bag?
That's the one. Loot Crate, they sent out a bunch of oven mitts that looked like Infinity Gauntlets, which, if you held a hot baking tray or something from the oven, would melt nylon and burn your hands.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, whoa. Yeah,
that was quite scary. Anyway, there might be a new Batman game coming. At this point, as far as these rumors have gone, it looks like we're definitely getting a new Batman game from WB Games Montreal. Batman Day has just passed us, and I didn't even get him anything. There have been a lot of tweets going around and stuff, and celebrations, and loads of content on YouTube to get your mind around, but... WB Montreal, they stuck an image on Instagram of like a black symbol on a white background and put a cryptic message saying capture the night, carpe sur la nuit.
That's French.
That's French, thank you. And on Twitter, they did a video which showed that symbol along with another two symbols merging into one another.
Do you want to know what that translates as?
Go on then. Is it capture the night?
No, it's cape on the night.
Oh, okay.
Cape above the night, technically speaking.
Cape above the night.
Le songe est sous l'arbre. That's a little Eddie Izzard
for you. Yes.
J'ai oublié mon cahier. Uh-huh. Oui. So one of those logos seems to look suspiciously like a logo from Court of Owls, which, if you don't know, that is a story from Scott Snyder. That's It's one of the more recent big stories of Batman that's been quite loved. I thought it was a bit long-winded, to be honest, but
it was good.
And then, speaking of Scott Snyder, he then retweeted one of the tweets from WB Games Montreal and went, in a much less cryptic way, he went, wait for it, hashtag, beware the Court of Owls, and then deleted it. So,
yep.
Ooh.
It looks like we're getting a new Batman game, which I'm happy about. It looks like it's from the creators of Arkham Origins, which I'm less enthusiastic about, but still, a Batman game, I'll give it a go. And it looks like it's going to be to do with the Court of Owls, which I'll do as a video game. Good.
That'll work.
Lovely.
That's all your news. That's all your points of interest. I'm sorry it was so long. Let's try get back on track.
Right. Okay. Well, I can do it very quickly. I'll just get mine out the way of stuff we've done played.
What you done played, Dan?
I've finished Borderlands 3, mate.
Ooh.
How was it?
Wow, that game feels long. It is Borderlands ass Borderlands.
It feels like you told us you started playing this game about 3 days ago, so it can't have been that long.
Well,
You have to go to work and stuff.
It kind of, you know, I was slogging through it to kind of unlock like the Mayhem mode and the New Game Plus mode and all that kind of stuff and start getting the really good loot. But there's the single player campaign, or the campaign, because you don't just have to play it by yourself. If you've got friends, go crazy. Yeah, it just felt like a real slog after 2/3 of the way through. A real slog. It's a bit like you've made imagine it's a 3-course meal, right? You've ordered the chocolate brownie with salted caramel ice cream for pud, but you've made a tactical error in your main course and you've got half a plate of kale to eat. That's what it feels like.
So you recommend it?
Well, wait for it to drop
brownies
in price.
And kale.
If you love Borderlands, you're going to love this. I'm kind of okay with Borderlands. To me, it's starting to feel a bit dated. There are some great cameos, and I won't spoil it.
What is in
but
word
if you like
and,
your
and
if
candy.
You like your mid if you like your mid to late 90s moderately anarchic magicians, you're going to have a good time.
Oh dear.
So I'm going to say
I've worked it out.
Yeah. So, put it this way, if we did scores out of 10, which we don't, it would be a 7.
Okay. Tim?
Yes?
You're still playing Astral Chain?
I am indeed.
Is that still amazing and potentially one of your game of the years?
Right. Yes, overall, but there's bits
of it
that are...
Not sure if
that
was Tim's excited sound or not.
Yeah, there are bits of it that are taking away from that. Mainly the sneaking sections. But I have to say, I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys, I bought a replacement white Joy-Con thing because I found one that had a D-pad thing from Hori. Was like,
oh, is that the yes. Mad Cats one?
It was like, no, Hori, I believe. 22
yeah, the Hori
quid.
Ones that they work on the remote version, but not in the TV version.
Yeah,
like, there's a better way of saying that.
I didn't entirely know that going in, but it doesn't bother me that much anyway.
Sorry, Tom, let me just stop you there.
Yep.
Handheld. Yeah, handheld and cradle. Sorry. Yeah. I had
there
a
we
weird
go.
Brain spasm.
Sorry, I knew what he was meaning, and so I didn't correct
I think you'll
him
find
yet.
Your brain cannot spasm since
not
it has
shut
no
up, tissue. I think Tim just speaks Coleman at this point.
But, yeah, exactly. But also, that has... like enhanced my enjoyment of the game, especially the combat, because I'm now getting S+ in combat where I was like getting a D because it kept on just throwing me off the edge of the level or just
fun fact though, yep. Apparently on the issue of Joy-Con driftage and D-pads and all kinds of shenanigans, apparently the Switch Lite I have heard one or two reports the Switch Lite is suffering from analog stick
don't
drift.
Know how widespread that is, but it doesn't look like they've particularly modified the design of the analogs, so I don't think that's going to be a problem that they've eliminated by the looks of it, unless there's, you know, there could be something underneath, but it doesn't look like there's a significant change to the design of them from what I can see.
Well, I'm going to get my sorry ass on iFixit and I'm going to find out.
Well,
I'm going to look.
The bigger problem with that is that in this model, in the light model, you can't actually change out the Joy-Cons.
Unless you're handy with a buzzsaw and a soldering
exactly.
iron.
Do you know, not to jump into a standard which Dan likes to hold you accountable for, but this continuation of your review of Astral Chain is amazing, Tim.
Yeah, sorry.
We haven't
it
even got to the game's menus yet. We're talking about
said,
the controller.
It did change my enjoyment of the game because it was being frustrating in combat and not being fully able to, you know if it was me or the controller, knowing that it was giving me some difficulties.
It's probably
But in terms of exploration and combat, I've enjoyed both of those things more. The only thing is there's some sneaking sections, which I don't think entirely suits the format of the game, even though it's like narratively makes sense within the kind of plot. But generally, yeah, like the game and overall presentation I'm really enjoying still. So yeah, like I've been the hours that I have had, I've put only a few in this week, but I have put into that so far. So yeah. I do have a review code for something for next week, so I'll be talking about that next week.
Ooh.
To quote from iFixit.com, things on the inside of the analog sticks from the original Switch and the Switch Lite, they quote unquote don't immediately seem too different.
Ooh.
Yes, see, that's was the overall impression I had from other people's impressions and what I'd seen. So,
but you had an impression from impressions?
Yes. A second-hand knowledge impression. But yeah, it does seem to be that, yeah, well, and you're backing that up, but that does seem to be the case that they haven't modified that design. That makes it a more significant problem for those things if that persists, no?
Indeed.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Hey, I'm playing a game.
What are you playing, Cole, man?
The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening.
Ooh. Now, I almost pulled the trigger on this because this looks fantastic. Then I saw the price tag.
Yes, and that's getting a lot of people because... So, if you don't know, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening was a Game Boy game, and then later redone as a Game Boy Color game with an exclusive dungeon, if I remember correctly.
Indeed, which was totally not at all tacked on.
And, yeah, not worth the price of admission on that point. But because people hear Game Boy game, I could probably pick that up cheap, and it was a handheld game. How big can a handheld game be? Pretty big. Pretty big. So this is a full price, like, £50 game on the App Store, I think. The App Store? The eShop, that's the word.
Yeah.
Anyway.
App Store.
And it's been really weird, because I did play... And I think if you've played the game initially on the Game Boy Color, then you're going to be drawn back into it. Also, if you've played Link to the Past, then you're absolutely going to love this game. And I have done both of those things and really love this game.
Hey!
If you haven't played the original Game Boy game and you've played Link to the Past, then you're going to see a lot of similarities, and for good reason, because the Game Boy game was originally meant to be a straight port of the SNES game, and at a point they went, hold on, we could just make a brand new game, and that's what they did, and it was brilliant. It's a bit weird to be playing this with a nostalgic feeling, because I'm not at any point sat in the back of my parents' car going up north for the summer holidays, so I feel like I'm in the wrong environment. Yeah, I feel like I'm in the wrong environment to be playing this game, but still, the tube will have to do for now. It is you know, if you've seen trailers, you've seen screenshots, it's a gorgeous looking game. They've gone for this weird aesthetic where everything looks kind of like plasticky toy top type.
It's kind of got like a tilt shift thing going on, hasn't it?
It's got a tilt shift thing, and also it's got a little bit of a Trumpton thing going on, I think, in the style of the characters. Everyone looks like a little model. And the interesting thing is the Game Boy game initially, it was just kind of like the initial Legend of Zelda. Everything is one screen. When you move to the next screen, everything changes to that screen. It has to load that new screen. Everything on the previous screen is all gone. This one's got more of an open world to it, but it still does that thing if you're slightly off screen. Any grass you've cut, any enemies you've beaten, they will suddenly reappear back again. But it works. It's a good way one of the fun things about the Game Boy version was grinding, and like, I'm stuck on this dungeon. I need to buy something in the store, but I need 200 rupees. I'm just going to go cut grass and kill bad guys for a while until I've got enough money, or I'm going to play mini games. And those mini games are a lot easier on the Switch than they were on the Game Boy, if I remember correctly. Or maybe I'm just older. Who knows? But the point I'm trying to get to is this game is really, really good. It's one of the few Zelda games that isn't set in Hyrule. It's on a distant island instead. Can't remember the name of it for the life of me. No, it's not Lowrule. Shut up.
Midrule.
Not Midrule either. I'm going to look it up now, just because you've done that. It's called Koholint Island.
Koholint?
Koholint Island.
Okay.
Yes. And
of course it is.
Different.
Yeah, it's a very different kind of Zelda game, even though it feels really familiar. I mean, Zelda isn't even in the game at all. She's mentioned once, and that's it.
Oh.
The game has a very different aesthetic to what you'd be used to, and at the same time, it's weird. It's different and familiar at the same time. It totally works, though. There is, and you may think, Game Boy game, like I said earlier, Game Boy game, it's probably not as big. It's a pretty damn decent, a decent sized game, and I think it is fully worth a full price admission to get in. The only problem I'm having with it is there is a slight slowdown in that game, which is on both handheld and in cradle mode.
How bad are we talking?
So we're talking, it's pretty jittery, which I think they can patch out, but if you go inside a building and then you come out the building to the open world, it slightly judders for about half a second. But it's not enough to ruin the game, but it's enough to be noticeable.
It's just noticeable, yeah.
No. Yeah, and I've heard other things where people said if there's too many bad guys on the screen, then they have the same problem, or too many power-ups going on around them, what have you. I've not seen that at all, and I've played a lot of this game so far. I've beaten like the fourth dungeon now, and it's still going well. The only problem I had is the slight shuddering when you leave the building. So maybe results might vary in this case, but from what I'm playing, I absolutely love this game. And with the juddering, I still totally recommend this game.
Excellent.
See, this is one of those things where I might try it if it, you know, was available or not full price. But as it's a, you know, Nintendo exclusive, they tend to keep their price for a long time, no?
Well, if you have a Switch and you're umming and ahhing over the price and you've never played Link to the Past, then, you know, that's on the SNES online stuff. I would totally recommend going to play that first.
Okay.
Because that is a corking game.
Yeah. And if you get along with that, you know you're going to get along with this game. If you're not going to get along with that, you know you're not going to get along with this game.
Okay.
Simple as that.
Good advice.
That is advice from Coalman.
Yes, and more advice I'll give is let's get the hell out of here and do the end of show stuff we do so we can stop recording and everyone goes to bed. Okay.
Please let's. All righty, Tim, Tuesday.
Tuesday is indeed a Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Dalston.
That's in London.
Yeah, each and every Tuesday we have a different feature game, usually a board or a card game. Although this week's game's slightly different, and I'll come on to that in a second. But, yeah, usually a board or a card game, and if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance to win a copy of the game at the end of the evening. Now, there's a particular fashionable thing at the moment. We're going to have a couple of weeks where we have a little look at some of the games in that category as well. So there's a roll and write is a kind of popular category. It's generally something where you're getting pieces of paper and marking things down on that, and that forms part of the game, basically. This week one looks really good. It's a really good one to start with. Welcome to Dino World. So, yeah, very Jurassic Park inspired.
Not Jurassic Park.
In this one, it's
legally
building
different. Welcome
and
to
managing
Dino
your
World.
Dinosaur park for like one or more players. It's like dice rolling and, as I said, like marking things down on a piece of paper. But yeah, I think this one is going to work really well, go down really well at the bar. Should be a good evening to come along for. All you need to do is come along, play the game, and you could possibly win a copy at the end of the night. You don't even need to be good at the game. You don't need to win the game. You just need to be interested in
playing. You just need to play the game and tell Tim you played it.
Yep. Which
then
I will usually be aware of.
Yabbering on
anyway.
About it.
If you need more details, you can check the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com we will have details up on meetup.com. Search for Tabletop Tuesday and join the over 1,800 members of our meetup group.
I will say, I'm not the biggest tabletop fan.
Yeah.
There are a few games I love, but the majority, I look at them and just they go over my head. This is one of the few times where Tim, and I don't know if it's just because I'm in kind of Jurassic Park fever at the moment, Tim showed me this game, told me about this game earlier so I could put it on the agenda, and that was the first time I think I've gone, it looks pretty good, I want to go play that.
Fair enough.
Welcome to Dino World at Tabletop Tuesday on the 1st of October at the Loading Bar scenario in Dalston.
Life finds
London.
A way.
Life
and I'm just going to jump in here to say one other thing very quickly, but this weekend is Tabletop Gaming Live at Alexandra Palace in Muswell Hill, down the road from my fine self. So I'll be attending both days, the Saturday and Sunday, the 27th and 28th, I believe. Come along. It's a really nice venue for a board game event. Tabletop Gaming Magazine Live is the event. You can search for details or just come along to Ali Pali. I believe they'll probably still have tickets on the door from what I've been led to believe. So it's a really nice venue for a board game event. Come along, have a look, play some games. Should be a good one to join in if you've got time to do so this weekend.
And will you be in attendance doing a live show, Tim? Will you be doing a one-man version of Catan?
No, I'm just going to be going around and playing some games.
Tim is doing his one-man show. He explains every single version of Settlers of Catan.
If you've loved his monologues about game menus, well, you're in for a treat.
I will be playing some games, possibly buying some games, and then maybe lining up some stuff for Tabletop Tuesday in the future as well. But hey.
Another event coming to London is EGX 2019. That's in 2019.
Indeed.
In fact, specifically, 17th to the 20th of October 2019.
October.
At the Excel Centre in London. I am super excited for this. I'll be there. Tim will be there. Dan won't.
I'm not, because I'm turning 40.
Yeah. Because he's turning 40. They've announced new games in some form or another. If you want to go onto the main floor, you can play Doom Eternal and DayZ Livonia, which we spoke about earlier. That's the new expansion. Also on the there's going to be a panel on Saturday discussing Planet Zoo called the Endless Opportunities Panel, like discussing the best way to play and build the biggest zoo possible and all this kind of stuff. Looks, if you're into that kind of thing, it looks pretty cool. The other thing is there's going to be a 45-minute gameplay demonstration running all day, every day on Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, which I want
initially
to see that.
Got my hopes up because they, I think someone wrote the wrong thing and it said Cyberpunk was playable at EGX and it's not. So, but there will be a 45-minute gameplay demonstration for you to watch if that so takes your fancy.
That should be good.
But, yeah, I'm excited. EGX. Yep.
Marvelous.
Also, Aero 2 is going to be there, and Aero was a really good rhythm game that I've hyped to death over the years.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to going and seeing those guys, thanking them for the game, giving them a big cuddle because they gave it to me for my birthday, and going to check out the sequel. So, yeah.
You got stuff for your birthday? Hey, game developers, I'm turning 40 on October the 20th.
Hey, love you, Bungie.
I love you, Bungie. Just saying.
Birthday bungo.
But I love a birthday bungo.
Birthday bungo.
Birthday bungo. Although that could be a questionable stripper dressed up as a character from Rainbow. No, that's birthday bungle.
Oh, that's terrifying and exciting at the same time. Talking about terrifying and exciting at the same time, let's talk about our shout-outs. We're not doing any this week. In fact, I've been talking about this for a while. I've been really pushing this idea. I want to kill the shout-outs in the way we do them. Anyone can read a name out. You can just write a thing or like a thing and we'll go, okay, cool. What?
Coal man, it's me. I just wrote your name down, read it out.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Well done.
Proof. Excuse me of being a bad guy. I want to get more kind of community interactivity. So rather than just, you know, hey, I liked the show. Cool. Thanks, Jeff Bridges. I wish Jeff Bridges
would
say that show. How about I've suggested in the past, we'll go for questions. We'll take questions. We'll about anything. Doesn't have to be video game related. We'll be weird. We like being weird. We're all pretty weird dudes.
Yeah.
But also we'll get some community feedback on the show. You know, anything you want to talk about.
Questions,
let's do that.
Is a good one as well. Give us questions that you want us to answer on the show.
Exactly. Like
be part
I
of the conversation.
Suggested. Yeah. And also, podcast reviews, they're not going anywhere. If you give us a podcast review, we'll definitely take a look at that and see what is up. But that's everything.
Well, do you know what I'm going to do to make room? Well, you don't really need to make room on Discord, but I'm going to commemorate the podcast chatty areas that will be emerging soon. I'm going to kill the anthem bit on Discord.
Yes. So we're going to get a BRB UK hangout is the idea on Discord.
Yes.
We're going to get this idea.
Yes.
Everyone's going to get a hangout, but we want a BRB UK one. That is more important because we'll be in it.
And because me and Coleman run the Discord, that's what's happening.
We're definitely going in it, yeah. But also, you can get in contact with us on Twitter at Big Red Barrel and on Facebook, facebook.com/Big Red Barrel.
Yes.
I think that's all of them.
Yes.
I mean, you can comment on bigredbarrel.com, but I'm doing something with that, which will make it easier, so don't worry. For now.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
That's everything.
Yes.
Shall we go?
Yes.
Cool. I got it. This thing. Let's hurry up.
Yes.
Stop doing the yes.
Yes.
You sound like a David Walliams character, and I don't like
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
Nope.
All right, we're going to go now. So make sure you head on over to www.bigredbarrel.com or twitter.com/bigredbarrel or facebook.com/bigredbarrel or indeed our lovely, lovely Discord where you can come and say hello to all kinds of people and yabber about stuff. I'm probably going to be getting quite excited about Destiny 2 on that fairly soon. Fair warning, next week going to involve a lot of Destiny 2. All right, so if you don't want to hear about Destiny 2, you might want to just mute me for next week.
Did I mention I can't make the podcast next week?
Oh, funny that, Tim.
Oh, I'm not on the podcast either. I think Rick's doing it.
It's all right. I can probably talk about it to myself.
I think it's
Rick. Yeah, one man show it.
I think it's just Rick and Kev.
Yeah.
And I think Dan's editing.
Yep. Am I? Wait. So there's a link to our BRB Discord on the front page of bigrevarrow.com. So it's super easy to find. So you should go find it.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
Yes. Yeah, that's a thing. And yeah, that's your lot, I suppose. So all that's really left is for me to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I'll be hanging out in the BRB UK section of Discord.
Yes.
Come say hi, let's talk about things.
Yes.
Stop doing that.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, thank you ever so much for downloading us. We really do appreciate it. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Quite welcome.
For the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.